Well, I'm so thankful that we're going to hear more about that man tonight. A wonderful story. You are here for what I believe is the best sermon of the series. First night, we learned about Daniel 2 and the credibility of the Bible. Second night was sleeping through the sirens, the times that we live in. Third night, why so much suffering? How did we ever get off track? Tonight, Jim Wilson is going to tell us how to get back on track.
Tonight's subject is Move Your Hand. And you might be wondering, what's that all about? But it looks like it's got something to do with Jesus and Satan. And let me start by telling you an amazing fact, a little story that illustrates a point. Back in July of 01, a 24-year-old Czechoslovakian freediver named Martin Stefanek set an amazing world record. At the surface, with no dive involved, he held his breath for an amazing 8 minutes, 6 seconds. And not quite 3 months later, in September, he set another world record in the Cayman Islands. He set a world free diving depth record. Free diving is diving with just holding your breath. He dove 295 feet. He went down and back in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Have you ever tried to hold your breath a minute or two? See how long you can hold it? I can't hold mine for more than a minute, especially if I'm swimming. Well, we all know that deep sea divers can stay submerged a long time as long as their oxygen line feeds air to them. They can stay submerged. Everybody knows that we have to have air to live. No one can live more than a few minutes without it. And if we ever get cut off from the source, the results can be disastrous. Thousands of years ago, there was a time when there wasn't one sick person on the earth. No one had ever died. No one was ever worried, depressed, afraid. But look around you today, and you and everybody you know struggles every minute with problems, burdens, and today, eventually, everyone gets sick and dies. And while living, people feel lonely, guilty, they try to find happiness, but it slips through their fingers. But we wonder, what has happened? Life is not too much fun. Well, what happens is, we human beings became disconnected from the source of everything that we need. Just as a deep sea diver would be in trouble if he got disconnected from the source of his air, we're down here on this earth in trouble ever since our line to God became disconnected, because He is the source of all life and joy and happiness. Now, to understand this, we'll go back to where the problem started on this earth, and we can read about it in Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve, He placed them in a perfect world. The air was fresh and clean, the waters unpolluted, no sickness, no death. But knocking on their door was a fallen angel named Lucifer, one whom God had created perfect until he rebelled against God. And this fallen angel came down to this planet because God had gave Adam and Eve a choice, and they chose to rebel against God. Adam and Eve doubted God, and Eve took the fruit, believed the devil's lie, and this was the first sin, rebellion against God. And instead of joy and increased wisdom, she got fear, anxiety, guilt, and loneliness. Now, ours is a planet in rebellion. All of us experience what Adam and Eve did, and all of us got what they got: guilt, loneliness, and emptiness. You ever wondered why does sin make us feel this way? Well, the Bible explains, Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from God. It is sin that separates us from God, because He is the source of all joy and life and peace. You might wonder, how does this separation affect us? Well, first, it broke our relationship with God because they disobeyed Him, obeyed the devil. There was a broken relationship right there. And with each other, they started to blame each other. Adam said, well, Eve gave me the fruit and I ate. And she said, well, the serpent beguiled me and I sinned. So people have been blaming each other ever since. People try to find happiness and eliminate guilt, escape through alcohol, drugs, sex, and money. But it only makes the situation worse, and it only breaks the relationship more and takes us further away from God. Sin separated us and brought guilt and anxiety and worry. And what more than that? The Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. So with death threatening over us, how do we find peace? In order to find peace, you need to find freedom from guilt. And in order to find the solution of death, we need to be reconciled with God and find forgiveness. Not only Adam and Eve sinned, we have all rebelled against God's authority. Our sin separated us from Him, because all have sinned. And since our problem is with us, we need to find help from above. God had promised a solution in His Son, Jesus Christ. In Genesis 3:15 was the first promise of the Messiah. Speaking to Satan, He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And He, referring to the offspring, which would be Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise His heel. Right back in the Garden of Eden, a Savior was promised. Jesus, He warned, shall bruise your head, Satan, and you will bruise His heel. God predicted He would send the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and give Satan a deadly blow. And Christ would receive a blow, but not deadly, just through His heel. God revealed a glimpse of the plan of salvation, and He had a solution for sin. At first, He told Adam and Eve to take a lamb and offer animal sacrifices. This is when He instituted the animal sacrifices. Later on, in the days of the Israelites, God instructed them to build me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. God had a plan to eliminate condemnation and guilt and bridge the gap caused by the separation of sin. So ancient Israel built a sanctuary in the desert. Now, to give them a little picture of what happens and how sin is going to be transferred, he gave them this illustration. Whenever an Israelite sinned against God or against his neighbor and he felt guilty, he was to bring a lamb to the sanctuary and confess his sin on the head of the lamb, thereby transferring the guilt to the lamb, and slit the throat of the lamb, and it died. So the sinner became guilty, the lamb bore the sin and died, because the wages of sin is death. Every sacrificial lamb pointed forward to Jesus, who would come as the Lamb of God and go to the cross and die the death that we should die. Jesus bridged the gap between God and man. And in John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's terrible that lambs had to die and all the blood had to be shed. It's much more terrible that Jesus had to die on our behalf, because without Jesus, each of us bears our own sin. In the middle of the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus as being the Lamb and presenting him as a leader. Jesus Christ invites us to give him our allegiance. And the beast, he also wants our allegiance. In Revelation 1:5 it says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." In Revelation 5:12, angels sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." In 12:11 says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." In 13:8, it makes reference to the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, God put the plan of salvation into effect immediately. That's why in chapter 14 it's called the everlasting gospel. And the gospel is the good news that this world has been redeemed by God. And in chapter 19, Jesus invites all of us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the second coming, Jesus is described as clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He comes as the Lamb of God that shed his blood for us. And in 22:17 is the invitation, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." You can come freely to Jesus. Confess your sin to him. Transfer the guilt. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he was thinking about each one of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Christ never sinned, but he accepted the guilt of all our sins. He was willing to be lost for eternity and to be condemned for our sins, yours and mine. He risked it all for us. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Notice it says, it's a gift of God. For by grace you've been saved through faith. as a gift. It's nothing that we can buy or do to earn. It only comes from grace, from God. I'll explain salvation one more time in the steps to find peace of mind. The first is to accept that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 states very plainly, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Step two, believe. In Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The third is confess. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter if we've committed murder, adultery, or just anger, he has promised to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And none of us would call God a liar. The Bible says that Christ's blood is sufficient for all sins of mankind. Step four is decide. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. So we need to accept him as a new master, as the one in control of our life. Acts 3:19 puts it this way, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. To be converted means to change allegiance, to give our allegiance to Christ, rather than have self on the throne of our heart. And when we receive Jesus, we receive the gift of eternal life. 1 John 5:12 and 13 puts it this way, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now I'm going to tell you a story about a young man in Germany a long time ago in 1505. He was on a walk in the forest, and then a terrible storm broke out. Lightning flashing, thunder crashing. The lightning was so close, it drove Martin Luther to his knees. And he was so afraid, he prayed. He wasn't a Christian like we know today, but he was a churchgoer. And he knew the Saint Anne was a protecting saint. And he said, oh, Saint Anne, protect me. And he promised, if you will protect me, I'll become a priest. Well, soon after, the rain stopped. The sun shone, the sky cleared. And Martin Luther became faithful to his promise. He entered a monastery. But in the monastery, he still felt separated from God, guilty and condemned. And he endured penitence. That's what they taught him. He stayed up till 1 and 2 in the morning, whipping himself, but still he had no peace. He thought, well, my body is sinful, so if I whip it enough, I'll have peace. Or if I fast long enough, I'll have peace. He thought he must do something to satisfy the offending God. In the meantime, he began to study the Bible, and he discovered a very interesting promise in the book of Romans. And it really struck him as something amazing he'd never understood before. He read in 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Martin prayed for that gift and peace flooded his soul. He sensed freedom from guilt. Later on, he was sleeping one night and had a dream, and he saw Satan with all of Martin Luther's sins written down on a scroll, specific sins that he knew that he did. And the devil asked him, "Are these your sins?" And Martin Luther said, "Yes." "Is the wages of sin death?" Martin Luther said, "Yes." And the devil said, "Then you must die." But Martin Luther saw that his hand was covering up something. And he said, "Move your hand." And the devil said, "No." Martin Luther then said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, move your hand." And Satan trembled, and then he fled. And under his hand, this is what it said: "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses Martin Luther from all his sins." That blood can cleanse every one of you tonight. It can bring joy and forgiveness into your life. Whether you've accepted Christ a long time ago, just on the surface, and you don't have any real connection, you can have the assurance and peace to know that if you died tonight, you would be saved. Let's take another look at Christ. In Pilate's judgment hall, he was whipped and beaten, crowned with a crown of thorns over his head. Blood dripped down on his face, his back. This is Jesus Christ, the one who created the world, the one whose name the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Jesus loved you enough to die in your place. Can you turn from such love? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice it says, "whosoever." Old, young, church member, sinner, whosoever. This means any one of us that believeth in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. How is it with you and Jesus? He gave it all. He poured out his blood, and he offers us forgiveness and peace and freedom from guilt. Tonight, Jesus wants to put your name in that verse that Martin Luther saw. He wants to say, "The blood of Jesus cleanses John or Mary from all her sins." Jesus said his blood for you. You can claim that forgiveness by faith, by believing the Word of God, that Jesus died for you and you can be forgiven. Do you want to experience that tonight? Don't let anything stop you from getting a clear conscience. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all your sins. Tonight, he's calling each and every one of us. He wants to do so many wonderful things in each of our lives. If we give him our heart, our life, our love tonight, in a moment, Bobby's going to sing, "My Jesus, I love thee." Then we'll pray, and before that, I'll give you a chance to respond to Jesus. You can tell him you understand that through him you can be saved. I'm sure glad that there is forgiveness, because at times it can be discouraging when I look at my own shortcomings. But every day can be a new day, and the past can be forgiven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you because there's no other place to come because there's nobody else that can give us the peace and freedom from guilt that our heart longs for. We surrender all of ourself to you tonight. We accept your gift of eternal life into our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow night is going to be very interesting. You'll learn more about how the Bible predicts the future. Mark Hersher is doing a sermon on the longest time prophecy in the Bible.